I'd like you to turn with me this morning in the Word of God to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Matthew chapter 21, let's begin reading in verse number 9. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? The multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. And he left them and went and lodged out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he was hungered. I want to stop there, and I want you to take note of what the Bible says in verse number 18. It says, in the morning. And I want to preach on that thought, in the morning, when he returned. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We look forward to the day when we're in your presence, Lord, in heaven. But we know that we're in your presence right now and you're with us. You promised you'd be here. We need your strength. I need your strength today. Please help me to say what needs to be said, and please help us to hear what needs to be heard. I pray for that one that may be here today without Christ as Savior. I pray that this would be the day that they recognize their need of Thee and they trust Thee. For those of us that are saved, I pray today we'd be helped, encouraged to go on for Thee. To do exactly what You would have us to do. To live our life recognizing, Lord, that we're accountable to Thee. Lord, may Thy will be done. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Here in the Gospel of Matthew, we have the events that began just a few days before the death of Christ. We call it the Gospel. We call the first four books of the Bible, the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, and the Gospel of John, because each one of them gives an account or a record of the suffering of Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection. This is the gospel, that Christ died according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And here we have the event that's happening just a few days before the Lord Jesus dies on the cross. He rides into Jerusalem in a triumphant manner to fulfill the Scripture. And as he's riding in, the Bible says there's people before him and there's people behind him, and they're crying out, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. In these few verses of Scripture, we have a beautiful picture of the ministry of Christ. And I want us to look at that. Three things that happened here that remind us of the full ministry of Christ. But this is just a picture. I want to take that as the basis of the message. The Bible says in verse number 10, and when he was come, in verse number 17, and he left them. Verse number 18, it says, now in the morning as he returned. So he has come, he has gone away, and I want you to know he is coming again. Paul Mevlin saying, what will it be when we get over yonder? I'm looking forward to being there, aren't you? Wish it were today. I want us to look at these three things. May the Lord use it. First of all, I want us to talk about His coming. In verse number 10, the Bible says, "And when He was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this?" The first picture we see is of him coming in and riding into Jerusalem, and the multitude declaring Him to be the Son of David, the King. It's a picture of His coming into the world the first time, and the things that was said, His entering into Jerusalem this time was similar to the things that were said of His coming into the world. We know that the Bible teaches us that Christ came into the world through the womb of a virgin. He came, and before the humility of the cross, there was the humility of the manger. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator God, robed Himself in flesh and came into this world. And He didn't come with the pomp, the glory, the majesty that a king would enter into a place. But He came the lowliest of ways. And He was born in a barn, in a cave, in the side of a hill, alongside the animals, with a trough for His bed, with no room in the inn for the family and for the lady that was carrying our blessed Lord. It's not the fault of the innkeeper. It was the direct result of the sovereignty of God that Christ would come in the humblest of ways. The King left His throne and came by way of a manger. This day, as He was coming into the city, He was coming, and they were recognizing who He was. They were recognizing Him in a way that was different, but there were certain things that happened that were similar to that first coming. We see the quarters that it touched. When Christ came in this day in the city, the Bible teaches us that all the city was moved. And that was true of His first coming. You remember when Christ came? The Bible teaches us that the shepherds had come from the hillside, telling about the angels that said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The Bible teaches us that it touched the wise men from the east as they came seeking the King that was born. The coming of Christ touched all that were around. But then we see the questions they asked. Here in verse number 10, they said, "Who is this?" And this is a question that followed Jesus all His life. Who is this? It rose in the minds of those that heard of His birth. You can imagine as the King heard, and he began to question, "Where is He? Who is this? What's this all about?" The same question followed Him everywhere He went. When He returned to His hometown of Nazareth, they said, "Is not this the carpenter's son? Is that who this is?" When He healed the man that was sick of the palsy, they said, "Who is he that he can forgive sin?" When He calmed the waves, they said, "Who is this that even the winds and the sea obeys?" The quarters it touched, all the city was moved. When Christ was born, everybody heard of His birth in some way, form, or fashion. The question was asked, "Who is this?" And it was a question that was asked all of His life. Who is He? What is His purpose? Today, those of us that know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we know who He is. He is the Son of God that robed Himself in flesh and came into this world. When He came into this world, He came for the purpose of suffering and bleeding and dying, so that you and I could live. What a Savior. What a wonderful Savior. Paul was writing to Timothy, and he wrote in 1 Timothy 1:15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." I'm glad He came to me, aren't you? Squire wrote it well when he wrote the song, "He came to me. When I could not come to where He was, He came to me. He came to me when I was bound in chains of sin. He came to me when I had no hope or peace within. He picked me up and He drew me gently to His side. And now, in His sweet love today, I now abide. He came to me. We see His coming. He came to you. He came into this world. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He came for you. He died for you. That was why He came. That's why He humbled Himself and came into this world. To be born and laid in a manger. That's why He was humiliated on the cross. He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross, and by the way, the worst death that you could die was the death of the cross. His coming. But then we see His going. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 17, and we'll look at some of these things. But the Bible says, and He left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and He lodged there. But the Bible says He left them. He left them. This is a picture of the Lord Jesus as we see Him leaving in Jerusalem. He had done the work there that He needed to do. He went in and cleansed the temple. He said, as He goes in, He throws the tables over, the table, the money changers' tables. He said, this is supposed to be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. He came and did a work. He came and corrected some things that needed to be correcting. They brought Him the lame, the sick of the palsy. They brought Him those that were filled with diseases, and the Bible says, and He healed them. So He came and did a work. He came and accomplished this day in Jerusalem what needed to be accomplished this very day. He healed the blind and the lame, and He delivered the message to the chief priests and the scribes concerning the things that were taking place. And when He completed His work, He departed out of Jerusalem and He goes to Bethany to lodge there. And I want you to know, when He came into this world, He came to do a work. And He completed that work. What Christ came to do, He did. And when He was on the cross, He declared that His work was completed because He said, it is finished. This second picture reveals our Lord completing this work and returning to the Father to wait for the night to pass that He can return again. His coming, His purpose for coming into the world was completed. That purpose was really very important. First of all, He came to reveal God. He brought God to man. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 9, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So Christ came. Why did He come? He came to reveal the Father. And then He came to respect the law. The Bible says in this same gospel, Matthew chapter number 5, verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He respected the law. And He came to redeem the sinner. I'm glad, aren't you? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life. A ransom for many. So He came and He revealed God. He came and fulfilled the law. He came and he died for sinners. But I want you to know, He didn't just die. He rose again from the grave. And with His work completed, the Bible says He went away. That's His going. His coming into the city that day was for a purpose. He went into the temple and He cleansed the temple and He healed the sick and he instructed the scribes and the priests about the things that were going on. But then the Bible says He went away. He came and he did the work, just like he came into the world and did the work that needed to be done in revealing God, in respecting the law, and in redeeming the sinner. And the Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter number 1, that when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. The scripture teaches us here in Matthew chapter 21 that when Jesus left them and went out of the city into Bethany, that he lodged there. And when our Lord left this earth, he returned to heaven and he sat down, the Bible says, at the right hand of the Father as our high priest. He came for a purpose. He's gone. He's going for a time. While he's gone, the Bible teaches us he ever liveth to make intercession for us. So his going had a purpose. But we see his coming, his going. But then I want you to see our mourning. The Bible says in verse 18, now in the morning as he returned into the city, we see a picture of the Lord Jesus coming. After the night had passed, the morning came. And Jesus returned to Jerusalem, and we find that many events took place. This picture of his ministry reveals the one event that's not yet taken place in our life. But every one of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior lives with this hope. Because we're looking for that blessed hope. The blessed hope is Christ. He is our hope. And he is coming again. And we live our lives anxiously waiting for him to return. And this return to the earth is going to be the calling away of the church. He's going to come in the clouds, the Bible says. We have many reasons to look for his coming. Some of them are simply because he said he would come again. He said, if I go away, I will come again. Jesus is coming. Maybe today. What if it is? Are you ready? If Jesus were to return today, are you ready to meet him? Have you been to Calvary for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you know that you know that you know that you know that if Jesus were to return today, that you're going to be going to heaven with him? He's coming. He's coming whether you're ready or not. At the appointed time, at the appointed hour, Jesus Christ is coming back. The Bible says he's coming the next time in the clouds to gather the bride of Christ, to gather the church, to gather those that have been redeemed by his precious blood. Jesus Christ is coming. He said he is coming again. The angels said he's coming. They said, why are you standing looking up into the heavens? This same Jesus, which is taken from you, shall so come in like manner. He is coming again. And his coming in the scripture was in the morning. And one of these days, morning is going to break and Jesus is going to come. The Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but guess what? Joy comes in the morning. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? If Jesus were to come today, the Bible says that there's a great day coming, and that day is going to be the day that Jesus comes again. Are you ready? Do you know him? Are you living for him? Are you doing with your life what God wants you to be doing? If not, why not today? Determine, if you don't know him as your Savior, he's ready to take you just as you are. Why don't you come to him and receive Christ into your life? And he'll make you accepted in the beloved. If you're already saved, but you're not doing what he wants you to do, What if it were today? What if it were right now? I say over and over, I wish it were now. But then out of the other side of my mouth, I say, I hope it's not right now. I'm ready to sing. I'm ready to be away from this world and to be in His presence. But at the same time, if He were to come, there's so much undone. So many things still yet to do. Are you ready for Him to come? If He were to come, would He find you doing what He wants? Oh, I'm saved, preacher. Praise the Lord. But are we doing what He wants? By the way, doing what He wants may not always be in agreement with what everybody else thinks you ought to be doing. But what matters most is what He wants. And we must be obedient to Him. Preacher, it's so hard. Living the Christian life. In our Sunday school this morning, we was talking about David. You think it was easy for him? Doing the right things, running from Saul. Saul was after him. Saul was chasing him. Troubles came to David's life, but God allowed every trouble that came. And through it all, David depended on God. So troubles may come. Difficulties may be there. Weeping may be a part of our lives. But hang on. When morning comes, there's joy. Great joy, wonderful joy. When you know Jesus. When He comes, if He comes today, are you ready? With heads bowed and eyes closed, we're going to prepare for our invitation here in just a moment. Are you ready? Are you ready? What if morning breaks in just a few moments? Before we have our time of invitation, I want you to think about these things. I want you to think about why Christ came. Why did He come? He came for you. He came to you. He came to bring salvation to you. He loves you. And He stands ready to take you just as you are. Are you ready to receive Him? If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is the most important day of your life because this is the day that you have opportunity to trust Him. That's why He came. He came for you. Now He's gone. Why is He gone? The Bible says He went and He's seated at the right hand of the Father. For those of us that are saved, He went away so that He could go and make intercession for us. So He's living and seated at the right hand of the Father. We make our mistakes. We don't do the right things or we do the wrong things. He becomes our advocate. And He makes intercession on our behalf because we've been washed in the blood. But one day, He's coming again. And when He comes, it's going to be too late for those of you that have said, I'm going to put it off. I'm going to wait another moment. I'm going to wait another hour. I'm going to wait another day. I'm going to wait another week. I'm going to wait another year. I'm going to wait for a more convenient time. When He comes, it'll be too late. There'll be no hope then. When He comes, it'll be too late for those of us that know Christ as our Savior to accomplish what He has us here to do. It'll be too late. And when we stand before Him and we're going to see His love and we're going to see all that He accomplished for us and in our behalf, we're going to wish so much that we'd accomplished more for Him. Morning's coming. I believe it to be soon. Are we doing with our life what our precious Lord wants us to do? Father, in Jesus' name.